Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning again. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, and welcome to our radio broadcast. We will continue our teaching on the meaning and the importance of faith. The meaning and the importance of faith. So if you have your Bibles, let's open them to our foundational scripture we are using for this message found in Hebrews 11:6. That's Hebrews 11:6. And I am reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, so there might be some words different from your Bible, but we will get to the same place at the same time. So do not be concerned. Now, if you found Hebrews 11:6, I will read and you will follow. And it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him." Amen. So we see our Heavenly Father rewards those who diligently seek him. Now, I took the time to find out what the Greek meaning for rewarder means. And it means a remunerator or remunerative, meaning people getting paid for it or pay for services that literally can be good or bad. So God is the rewarder or remunerator for your diligence in seeking him. Now, all believers have faith. It is important on this subject of faith to understand and know that you do, in fact, have faith. The question is not the need for more faith, but to know how it works. I know that most of you have never prayed this prayer that I am going to identify here shortly. I prayed this way because of my lack of knowledge when I first got saved. And there are churches today that do not teach. They preach at you, and they preach to you, but they do not teach you. This is not a criticism, but an observation. Now, we talked about consent of ignorance last week. Well, ignorance will destroy your faith also. When I prayed to the Father, just before I ended my prayer, I would ask him, "Lord, give me more faith." Now, I know some of you probably have heard people pray that prayer. I was misinformed and did not know. When you don't know, you do not know, and that is a disaster. I used to ask for more faith. My rationale was, if I had enough faith stored up, my circumstances would change. They would work positively. They would work on my behalf, and I would be blessed by God. but everything I did in life was a challenge. I struggled. Christians don't need more faith. The problem was not needing more faith, but needing to know how it works. You need to know that you have it, and you need to know that you, as a believer, have it also. Please go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Again, that's Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And it says that if you confess or speak with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is what is called salvation, or being born again, or becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus. Those are different ways of talking or saying the same thing. If you have ever experienced that, you have faith and have enough faith. You do not need any more of it. You just need to know what to do with what you have. When you know what to do with it, it will grow and expand and get stronger. Or better yet, it should grow and it should get stronger. You simply need to know that you have it, when you receive it, and how it came. All that information is in the Bible. You need to know that you know that you know that you have it. You can put it away and not deal with it again because you know that you have it. You can, from this point, develop your faith and move on to the higher things of God. God wants you to progress to greater heights. Amen. Remember, he said in his word, he has come that we might have life and that we might have life more abundantly. Amen. You need to know your origin in faith. You need to know you had a point of origin. You need to know where you began, or that you are somebody in God and that you have faith. You will never be able to rise above your present level. Now, let me read that again. You need to know your origin in faith. If you do not know you had a point of origin, or know where you began, or that you are somebody in God and that you have faith, then you will never be able to rise above your personal level. Please go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And we will see the origin of our faith. Okay, Genesis 1 and verse number 26. And it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping things that creeps on the earth. Now, in that verse, God says, let us make man. Now, man is generic. He is not talking about gender, but he's talking about mankind. So he's talking about male and female here. So that is our origin right there. When God said, let us make man, that's our origin of faith right there. We just haven't received it yet. In your personal study time, you need to establish for yourself and put it to rest once and for all that you are somebody, that you came from somewhere, that you have the faith of God. Amen. And that you know that you know that you have it, faith. Then the devil can never intimidate you through the circumstances or back you down and cause you to live below your privileges. Every believer has faith. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we will read verse number 3. And it says, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Now, please underline the words "to each one." Now, your Bible is your workbook, so you should be able to write in it. Please underline the words "to each one a measure of faith." How many is left out of each one? Well, the answer is none. It does not say God has dealt to some, but God has dealt to each one. Also, in this same verse, the words "each one" is generic. That means it is talking about mankind, not gender. God has dealt to each one a measure. Now, when you think of measure, what comes to your mind? Well, to my mind comes the word amount, quantity, dosage, or degree. Am I correct? A measure can fluctuate or increase or decrease. Now, can you agree with that assessment? Notice that it did not say that God has dealt to each one faith. Did you pick up on that? It didn't say that God has dealt to each one faith. Now, just for note, the New King James Version says, the same verse, it says measure, but the King James says the measure. The New King James Version says a measure, but the King James Version says the measure. Now, think with me for a moment. The King James Version of that verse says the measure, which is the better interpretation because it implies a definite amount, whereas a measure implies different persons may have different amounts dealt to them. One person might have a pint, another person might have a quart, and so on and so on. That would not fit the character of God, for God is not a respecter of people or persons. Now, you're there in Romans. Please go to Romans chapter 2. That's Romans chapter 2. And it says, "For there is no partiality with God." For there is no partiality with God. Now, finally, go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. That's Deuteronomy chapter 10. And we will read verse number 17. And it says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe." Amen. So God shows no partiality. So he has to give everyone the same amount of faith. Amen. God requires us to live by faith, and it would be unjust to give different amounts because some would be at a disadvantage because some will have more faith and then others will have less faith. The word "measure" alerts us to the fact that what God has dealt us can be increased. Let me repeat that. The word "measure" alerts us to the fact that what God has dealt us can be increased. The measure of faith can be increased. Now, think with me for a moment, and let's qualify something. When Romans 12:3, the last part of the verse says, "As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith," it implies that everybody in the world has faith, because that is exactly how we would have to interpret it. You have to understand that the Bible is not written to everyone in the world, but ultimately everyone in the world can come to a place where the Bible can affect their lives positively. But the Bible is a coded book written to a certain class of people, namely the children and people of God. So God is letting us know that the Bible is only written for his people. Anyone who is not a child of God cannot understand the Bible. In other words, they can never know its message. Amen. They can read it, but their interpretation of it is clogged because they are not children of the Almighty God. Now, please go to John chapter 1, and we will look at this and possibly verify it in the Word. Go to John chapter 1 and verse number 12. And it says, "But as many as received him, Jesus, he, Jesus, gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name." Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we will read verse number 14. And it says, "The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Amen. So the Bible, which is our manual book, is for children of God only. They are not for the non-believer. Now, he can read it, and eventually, if he gives his life to the God and his spirit man has been renewed, then the word will be revealed to him, and he will be able to interpret it. But until then, it is not for him. So when it says each one, we need to qualify that it is not talking about each one in the world. Everyone does have natural human faith, but we are not talking about that. We are talking about the God kind of faith, the kind of faith that comes from God. Amen. Now, the word must be rightly divided. When you read scripture, you have to be sure that it is rightly divided. You know, the word tells us that God is not the author of confusion. So we have to make sure that we're correct in our interpretation when rereading the word of God. Now, please go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. And we will see what we're talking about here. 2 Timothy 2:15, and it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, rightly dividing literally means cutting straight. Cutting straight. Words of truth. Truth defines the nature of Scripture. It is a beacon of truth in the darkness of all kinds of falsehoods. Teachers of the Bible should make every effort to handle his, God's truth, accurately. Failure to do so will lead to divine judgment. Teachers that do not teach the word correctly or the truth accurately are failing to divine judgment. Go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And we will read verse number 1. And it says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Amen. So those that have been called by the Holy Spirit to the fivefold ministry gifts are going to have a stricter judgment. because we are commanded by God to handle his truth accurately. There are many people that say they have been called to teach and preach the word of God, but they have subscribed to the deception and lies of Satan by accepting the moral conduct of some as acceptable to God. Now, there is a movement of Satan that has literally blinded the minds of these individuals where they cannot rightly divide the word of God. And it is imperative that you rightly divide the word of God. Please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we will read a verse that I believe that will kind of clear that up for those of you who might be a little confused in terms of teaching the word of God with accuracy. So that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we will begin with verse number 9. And it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God or see the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, or homosexuals, or sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Now, those people that are out there that are saying that a certain group of people, just because of their lifestyle, that they can be part of the church, which they can, but they just cannot continue with their particular lifestyle because this is in direct contact, conflict with the word of God. You have to live a good moral life according to the word of God. All that other nonsense is just nonsense and is lying. Now, God loves the people, but he hates the sin. And these people are teachers that are professing that God loves them, and it's all right to come and stay in that particular lifestyle are incorrect. You have to get your life together in order to be a child of God. God is not going for the nonsense. That's a lie and deception from Satan that has been promulgated by man. Now, let me show an apparent contradiction in the Bible in reference to faith. So go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And it says, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith." Now, we just read in Romans 12:3, and it said that God has dealt to each one the measure of faith, the New King James Version. Well, here in Thessalonians, it says, "For not all have faith." Now, remember, our foundational scripture tells us that God rewards those who diligently seek him. But the superficial reader of the Bible comes up with this false deduction that the Bible contradicts itself because he or she does not understand what they're reading. They are not rightly dividing. So if you look at Romans 12:3 and then 2 Corinthians 3:2, it is definitely a contradiction if the writer was talking about the same thing in both places. But he is not. That is why the Bible says to rightly divide the word of truth in 2 Timothy 2:15. That implies you can wrongly divide the word, and we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And unreasonable and wicked men would not be talking about the saints of God. Unreasonable and wicked men are not talking about the saints of God. It is not talking about the children of God, about born again believers. That verse is talking about sinners. They do not possess or have the God kind of faith. In Romans 12:3, he is talking about the children of God. Now let's find out how we know that, because it might sound like a contradiction. So go to Romans 1:7, and we're going to find out how we know that. Romans 1:7. And it says, to all who are in Rome, now think with me for a moment. It says, to all who are in Rome. And you know what? I'm just about out of time. So I'd like to thank you for joining us for our weekly Bible study. Please join us next week as we continue our teaching. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So until then, may God richly bless you. Shalom. We'll talk next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.